Bird Dog's khaki shorts are just like your mother. They'll wrap you up and keep you comfortable no matter where you are. Their zipper pockets will securely hold all your things. They'll fondle you with a love you thought only your mother was capable of. Oh, and don't worry. These shorts won't call you a disappointment. You might even start to love Bird Dogs just as much. If you want to experience motherly love again, hurry to birddogs.com/MLB and buy a pair. They're selling out quickly, but they'll throw in a free Bird Dogs tumbler if you get there on time. That's birddogs.com/MLB.
Why would you break into these apartments?
For money, for drugs, whatever was in there.
Weren't you ever afraid of getting caught at doing this?
No. Who's going to catch us? What a police.
It was the early 1990s, the height of the crack era, and instead of locking up drug dealers, some New York City cops had become them.
I would suit up in my uniform and we're going to rob some drug dealers. And I know how to do it really well.
This is the inside story of the biggest police corruption scandal in NYPD history and the investigation that uncovered it all.
Did you consider yourself a rat?
100%. I saved my soul, just like everybody else does.
Listen to and follow The Set, an Odyssey Originals documentary podcast series, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your shows.
I'm not a bad guy, man, but I loved being that dirty mother.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is The Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Brian Jack McKeon producing this fine extravaganza for the next 4 hours. We got a lot of guests stopping by today. We'll do a little college football fix at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific with Keaton Slovis, the starting quarterback at BYU, previously played at Pitt and USC. We'll talk to Green Bay Packers defensive tackle and Kenny Clark at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. And then at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, 6:40 p.m. Pacific, Eric Eager from Sumer Sports will join us as we'll preview this upcoming season in the National Football League. But I got to start today's show with something that Antonio Brown said with my pal Bryant McFadden, the two-time Super Bowl champion cornerback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was actually on TV the other day, CBS Sports Network with BMAC, so always enjoy jumping on with him. But he not only works for CBS Sports HQ, he also does a podcast with his cousin, Patrick Peterson, and I don't think Patrick Peterson was on this edition, but I did see that Bryant McFadden was interviewing DK Metcalf. And DK Metcalf named not only his top three wide receivers in the NFL today, but he also did go on to name his top five wide receivers of all time. And let me just start off with who he named as the number one wide receiver is not the greatest wide receiver of all time, but he's very controversial and he is a Pro Football Hall of Famer and should be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, even though it's not going to be as easy as you think the numbers would suggest that it's going to be. So let's start off with the all-time receiving list for DK Metcalf. And you got to cut DK some slack because he's a young guy, right? He's not going to go into the weeds of all the history and all that. Like, you know, you have to have Jerry Rice on that list. Most people know that Jerry Rice, the GOAT, should be number one on this list. But I can't crush DK Metcalf, who is younger. And for a lot of these players, most of them, he didn't really even see them play. You know, DK Metcalf is 25 years old. I'm sitting here about to turn 29 next month. So I have even more knowledge and probably watch football earlier than DK Metcalf. And I don't expect, like a talk show host, me expect to get the top five somewhat close. Just because DK Metcalf is a great wide receiver doesn't mean he's going to go analyze all the great players in the history of the game. So, you know, I don't even know how much DK Metcalf even remembers seeing of Randy Moss and Terrell Owens as well. But his top five list was number five, it was Julio Jones. Four was Jerry Rice. Three was Terrell Owens. Two, Randy Moss. And then one, Antonio Brown. I have no problem with Terrell Owens and Randy Moss being in the top five. I have no problem, obviously, with Jerry Rice being in the top five. He should be one, though, on this list. But Antonio Brown is not a top five receiver of all time. He's a Hall of Famer. He should be a Hall of Famer, but not a top five wide receiver of all time, let alone number one on this list. And if you want to tell me, okay, DK Metcalf grew up and Julio Jones is one of the better wide receivers in the league, totally get that. But if you're just going to go from the last like 15 years or so and guys that DK Metcalf could have grown up watching, personally, I think just for starters, you have to have Calvin Johnson in before you even contemplate Julio Jones. So I'm not going to sit here and lambaste DK Metcalf for his list. Now, his top three wide receivers, and we'll get back to the Antonio Brown conversation in just a second, because I think that's the big takeaway from this. His top three wide receivers in the NFL, and let me ask this to you, McKeon. I don't know if you've been paying attention. Did you happen to see the tweet that was sent out there from Dove Kleiman that was recapping this interview that Brian McFadden did with DK Metcalf? Did you see who his top three wide receivers were currently in the NFL right now?
I actually didn't. I'm fascinated by this conversation.
Okay. If you had to pick, Brian Jack McKeon's given his top three wide receivers in the NFL today. Not what they've done in the past, just going into this season. Your top three wide receivers are who?
I'd guess number one's got to be Devontae Adams.
Okay.
Are you taking into account who's playing quarterback for them?
No, just who you think. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, just who you think is the best receiver.
Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Wilson?
Stop.
No, I'm playing with Aaron Rodgers. He won Rookie of the Year last year.
I understand that.
He won Rookie of the Year without a quarterback.
But we're talking about top three wide receivers in the NFL. The guy has played 1 year. There's a lot of other receivers that are more accomplished and are considered better receivers. I like Garrett Wilson. Nothing against Garrett Wilson. He looks to have a very promising career.
I mean, I'm saying Offensive Rookie of the Year, now playing with Aaron Rodgers. Oh. I'm Offensive Rookie of the Year without a quarterback.
Okay, but you are forgetting a lot of other guys that are younger and that are at a more elite level than even Garrett Wilson was in his rookie year.
Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp is not in my top three, but I can't kill you. So you think Brian Jack McKeon's top three wide receivers in the NFL.
This is crazy for me to say this. You think this is crazy?
But I just think the only name that I think is crazy that you gave me was Garrett Wilson. If you want to tell me Cooper Kupp he won a triple crown from wide receiving. Last year, he got hurt. But the top three wide receivers in the NFL, in my opinion, in order right now.
Okay.
Devontae Adams, one, I agree with you. Two, Justin Jefferson has to be in there at number two.
Okay.
And then in at number three, it's weird. This guy does not usually always get brought up in the top three. He's always in the top five. And I think it's because of a few reasons.
DeAndre Hopkins?
No. DeAndre Hopkins, for a while, I thought was the best wide receiver
because he's fallen off
in the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, no, he hasn't even fallen off. Like last year, he put up a heck of a season. He just missed the first six games because he was using performance enhancing drugs. But this guy, because he has something that is unstoppable. You can't guard him whatsoever. I know he was marred in controversy, and it was disgusting what he was accused of and what he may have done. And I crushed him on national radio. But this guy now has done it in two places, and it's Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill was dominant in Kansas City and then goes to Miami with Tua Tagovailoa, who we all say is a great quarterback but hasn't shown it yet consistently in the NFL and had to deal with injuries and put up monster numbers. So that's my three best receivers entering 2023 right now it would be in at number one, Devontae Adams, two, Justin Jefferson, and then three, Tyreek Hill.
Where is A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, that tandem or either of them landing in this conversation?
Well, this list is not duos. It's just the top three receivers
I'm saying,
in the NFL.
Where are either of the two of them? Because does it hurt them that they're a duo?
No, because you could have, like, great duos in the NFL and still be considered a top 10 wide receiver in the league. But number three was A.J. Brown. Now, okay. I like A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown is a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think he's in the top three. You got to remember, though, D.K. Metcalf, A.J. Brown,
yeah,
college teammates. So I can't crush D.K. Metcalf if you're going to be honest about this. Like, how you look back at the all-time list, he's not going to be able to go through the entire history of the league. And a lot of these guys, even that he put on his list, I can't tell you that he really probably has any memory of a lot of them playing. But when you go through the current list, Justin Jefferson and Devontae Adams, right, those are his two guys. And then the third one was A.J. Brown. To throw a bone to your friend who is a top 10, and you could make the argument if you have to. It's kind
of
like
he's the bottom of the top 10, though, right? Like, he's the 8 to 10 range.
Yeah, yeah. He's phenomenal in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill not being a great quarterback, and then goes to Philadelphia.
Lit it up last year, yeah.
And let's be real. Jalen Hurts' career doesn't take off to level it has without A.J. Brown. Like, you look at Josh Allen. Josh Allen was not a great quarterback until Stephon Diggs got there. And you see what the Dolphins are doing, getting not only Jalen Waddle, but then the next year going on out there and getting Tyreek Hill. So, you know, kind of putting A.J. Brown on that list would be if you're a first-round projected draft pick, and let's say everyone's saying you're the third wide receiver to go off the board. But if someone asks you, who's the best wide receiver in this draft class, you should say yourself, because there's you should have that mentality regardless. Like Gabe Davis once told me, I remember in that pre-draft interview that we had with him, that he was the best wide receiver in the NFL draft class.
Okay.
But if you have that if you have that mentality and that confidence, I think it's very important. But I also think there needs to be somewhat of an argument. I'm not saying I would argue A.J. Brown to be a top three wide receiver in the NFL, but it's not inconceivable for DK Metcalf to say, oh, he's a top 10 wide receiver. He's my friend. I think the world of him. I know him better than most. I know what he's capable of. I learned a lot from him. We shared so much information and memories of one another that I'll put him in the top three.
I think these lists are particularly challenging when it comes to the NFL, only because the way the league has changed over the last couple of decades, specifically the last two, right? You went from a predominantly defensive running league where now it's quarterbacks throwing 5,000 yards a year. So the receiver numbers are really warped compared to old-time receivers. Even like the running numbers are seriously warped. The quarterback numbers, we were having the conversation with Marco yesterday about Phillip Rivers being a Hall of Famer because he's going to land in the top five. It's a very difficult, like it's hard for me to kill DK Metcalf for not necessarily having a lot of the old-timers on this list. Now, I get it. There's certain names that you just can't leave off.
Well, it's age.
I know.
Like, put it this way. There's three names that have to be on this
Jerry Rice.
List.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, and to me, Terrell Owens. Yeah.
No,
absolutely.
I agree with you. But those guys meet the criteria. I think those guys could play in any era of the league.
Yeah.
But there's also receivers that dominated the league in the 70s and 80s that I don't know if they would dominate the league today. Like the athleticism, the speed, the way the game is played is so different now. Like, I know we're going to have that age-old conversation. It's going to go on for decades and decades and decades. But do I not have a point here?
You do. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with you.
The athleticism is so different now, and the NFL is so much more talented now. It's hard. It's really difficult to compare ours.
But put it this way, and you even said this. You put Jerry Rice in any era, that dude's the greatest wide receiver of all time.
There's certain players like that in every sport, right? Mm-hmm. Like, certain players in every sport are going to dominate whatever era they play in. It doesn't matter.
Like, but Tom Brady, you could put him in any era.
Any era, he's going to dominate the sport.
LeBron James, you could put him in any
Michael
era.
Michael Jordan, same thing. Like, those guys are going to dominate their sport whatever era you put them in. Having said that, though, there's plenty.
Larry Bird, just to make Christopher Mad Dog Russo happy. You put him in any era, he would be phenomenal.
I don't know about that.
Well, you're an idiot then.
There are some players that transcend that, but more often than not, especially when I think football, I think there's more players in football when you look back at their era that wouldn't stand a chance in this era.
Well, I think you could play this argument both ways, because the way that offensive players are now protected, some of those, I'm not saying the players today aren't tough. This is the toughest sport in the world. it's a lethal sport.
But guys were mauled in the 80s and nothing happened.
Yeah, but there were like different rules that did happen, and now people are more protected in the NFL. Doesn't mean that you still can't have something horrible happen. We unfortunately saw something happen this year like that. So that's just the nature of the game.
Like Joe Montana, to me, reeks of a guy that can play in any era, right?
Yes, obviously.
Those kind of quarterbacks. Like that. Does Fran Tarkenton have the same
success?
Does he?
Stop.
Does he?
So, you've never seen Fran Tarkenton play.
Does he? That's my point, though.
No, but this is why this conversation's so stupid. And that's why I'm going to put an end to it. I'm going to make my point on Antonio Brown in a second. If you're going to tell me Fran Tarkenton, who was an MVP of the NFL when he played in the 70s, made, what, like 10 Pro Bowls or something?
It's the NFL. Like, the Pro Bowl number is...
But I'm just... You have not watched enough tape in the past
have
of Fran Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton?
No!
None
that's
of us
what,
have.
I'm not the one that brought up the name. You
but that's
did.
My point, though, is the athleticism that he had in the 70s. Yes, it was great back then.
I don't have a damn clue.
Is he playing today and dominating the league like guys are today? The athleticism is so high. The defensive players are so quick now. Is he running around like
so
he
this
did?
Is what I'm going to say to you.
That's my point.
This is what I'm going to say to you, because I'm going to move on here. Go down the rabbit hole of YouTube tonight. You know, I'm sure you don't have a lot of plans anyway on a Friday night. You're here until 10 p.m. Eastern.
Wow.
And then you got a podcast afterwards. We know McKeon's not going out and big night on the town and partying it up. You know, you had a long day. You worked two jobs, all that stuff. Your big Friday night, open up a bottle of wine, pour yourself a nice glass of red
highlights.
Wine, and watch Fran Tarkenton, okay?
What a Friday night.
And then on Monday, you could come. Oh, wait, you're not going to be here Monday because Hickey is back. But if you have some big takeaway, go ahead and text me so we don't have heads exploding right now in Minnesota. All righty, this is Zach Yelp's show on CBS Sports Radio. I want to get to this, though. So you had DK Metcalf with Brian McFadden say that Antonio Brown is the greatest wide receiver of all time. Number one, he's not. We know Antonio Brown is a great player. He's not the greatest wide receiver of all time. For a while, though, he was the best wide receiver in the NFL by a good margin. And he played in an era with some phenomenal wide receivers. I've said this for years, and I'll say it again, because Antonio Brown's never going to play again in the NFL. So now we get into the conversation of, is Antonio Brown a Hall of Famer? Let me be abundantly clear here. Antonio Brown is a royal pain in the ass, but he's a great player, and he's dominant, and he is deserving of a spot when his time is up to get into Canton, Ohio, of being a Hall of Famer. The guy has won a Super Bowl. He caught a touchdown in a Super Bowl. He's been a four-time first-team All-Pro. He's made the Pro Bowl seven times. He led the league in receiving twice in yards and receptions. He's on the All-Decade team for 2010. The numbers and the accomplishments are all there for Antonio Brown. I get it. Ugly ending. Ugly ending in Pittsburgh. Sorry, they just turned off my mic because I was spitting such great hot takes. I don't know why. That just happened to reset the whole thing. Come on, what are we doing out here? Like, what? That was the weirdest thing ever that just happened.
Yeah, my board, like, turned off, too.
Your board just died. The microphone went off. I go to press the on button. Is Deebo Samuel tapped into the system? Did 49ers fans hack us? Man, I was really rolling into a great take about Antonio Brown, and obviously...
The NFL doesn't want him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Making too good of a point.
Roger Goodell. This is Roger Goodell speaking. Gelb is making a point on CBS Sports Radio.
Cut the feed.
He has a Roger McDell clown shirt, a Roger Goodell clown shirt from Barstool Sports. We absolutely can't stand this guy, Gelb. So we're just going to tap into CBS Sports Radio in New York City and cut off his microphone.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
if anyone's
Roger.
Got the power.
Way to be a jerk. But let me just finish up what I'm saying. He quit in Pittsburgh. Royal pain in the ass. I can't even say he got to the Raiders because he threatened to punch Mike Mayock and then quit on them too and then gets to New England and you had all the allegations that did come out. And in Tampa Bay, yes, behaved himself for half a year and then quit on the team and now all he does is bash Tom Brady. Antonio Brown, the person, is a bad person, and he's a joke, all right? Like, but the Hall of Fame, to me, isn't about who's the greatest person in the world. It is, are you a great player or not? And Antonio Brown, without a doubt, with the eyes that I watch football with, is a Hall of Famer.
He won't get in. They're not going to let him in.
Here's the thing. He's not getting on the first ballot.
He's not going to get in at all.
And wide receivers are very tricky. But look at what happened with Terrell Owens and Antonio Brown. Like, Terrell Owens is
half the problem.
Let me finish here. Like, turn off your mic for a second. Terrell Owens did not have off-the-field, like, legal problems. He just got into it with teammates. When you look at Antonio Brown, he got into it with teammates and had a ton of allegations off the field. So if they made Terrell Owens wait because writers didn't like him, yeah, I could absolutely see them making Antonio Brown wait, or maybe not even putting him in at all, because everywhere he did go, it ended in an ugly, miserable way. But with that being said, that's not what the Hall of Fame is about. You could be an awful human being. You could have disgusting allegations, and it may be uncomfortable to want to honor that person. And you could be a bad teammate, but do you have the stats or not? Did you make a great impact on the field? And Antonio Brown's numbers, without question, say to me that he should be a Hall of Famer. Now I will let you continue, McKeon, but you're not wrong in terms of, yeah, you look at what the way that these writers are, it wouldn't shock me if they never put Antonio Brown in the Hall
there's,
of Fame.
Find me in the Hall of Fame criteria where there's a morality clause. There isn't. Nowhere does it say it to be a good person. They're not
putting Major League Baseball, there is.
Which is dumb as it is, too, because Ty Cobb's in the Hall of Fame, but we keep other guys out because we don't like them. The reality is Antonio Brown, Hall of Fame talent and Hall of Fame stats, Hall of Fame numbers, Hall of Fame everything. Like, we both watched his career through his entire prime. It was about a decade in Pittsburgh where he was by far the most dominant receiver in the league, and it wasn't even close. He had 100 catch seasons back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah.
He was an unbelievable player, but they turned it into a popularity contest with Terrell Owens. They did, and it was only because they didn't like him. That was the only reason, because, again, like you said, no legal troubles. Terrell Owens went to a Super Bowl, too. No legal problems. He was just known as a guy that was annoying to the media and a bad guy in the locker room, and yet Terrell Owens, they held out for so long, and he's not even a questionable Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he should have been a first ballot.
He should have been a first ballot, no doubt, and they held him out for so long. You think they'll let Antonio? There's not a single guy in the league who likes Antonio Brown.
Well, that's not true. There's a lot of teammates that like him, but people in the media are not going to like
him. There's no one that can like him. Not coaches, GMs. There's no way people are speaking positively about
him. I'm telling you, there are always teammates that will like a teammate. Look at Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving quits on everything and doesn't show up, and you ask all the players in the NBA, they love Kyrie Irving. Just one last thing, and I know we got to take a break. DK Metcalf's top five receivers of all time. Once again, Antonio Brown, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Jerry Rice, and then he did have Julio Jones. I know I just said a bunch about the top four. Just if you're going to throw a younger guy in there and Julio Jones fifth, like Calvin Johnson has to be in there before Julio Jones and also Larry Fitzgerald. Those are two names that if you're the age of DK Metcalf, you have to have before you give me Julio Jones, who was phenomenal for a long time, but nowhere close to a top five receiver of all time in the sport. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, one prominent NFL analyst says when you look in the AFC, Aaron Rodgers right now is not a top five quarterback in the AFC. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Good rejoin here, McKeon. Nice job. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So, Bucky Brooks, longtime NFL analyst. I think he's working for NFL Network and I believe NFL.com as well. He said Aaron Rodgers is not a top five quarterback in the AFC. And he said, I don't see Aaron Rodgers a top five quarterback in the conference. When you go down the list, you got guys like Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Herbert, Lamar Jackson. There's not a spot for Aaron Rodgers. And Bucky did continue by saying, when I look at him on tape, I've seen the decline. A lot of people are banking on Aaron Rodgers to be a four-time MVP, and he's going to New York and finding the fountain of youth. But at 40 years old, there's not many quarterbacks that improve. So here's what I'll say about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a top five quarterback in the AFC. Can you make an argument that he's not? Yeah. I think there's a laundry list of names of quarterbacks in the AFC that you could make a case are top five quarterbacks in the AFC. And you have to only put five in. So if you want to move someone out, I would not move out Aaron Rodgers. But it's not as if it's inconceivable to say that if you put out a list of five quarterbacks of the AFC, that there's like some crime that was committed because of the names that you put out there. Personally, I would put Mahomes 1, Burrow 2, right now Josh Allen 3, Aaron Rodgers 4, and then my fifth spot, it's Trevor Lawrence. I would put Trevor Lawrence in at 5. Now, you could tell me Justin Herbert belongs on that list. You could tell me Lamar Jackson belongs on that list. If you're buying in that Russell Wilson's going to bounce back, you know, this time last year, most people would have had Russell Wilson in the top five of quarterbacks in the AFC. If you're buying that Deshaun Watson has knocked off the rust, you know, there was a time where Deshaun Watson was viewed as one of the better younger quarterbacks in the game. The problem that I have right now with Lamar, and I'm a big Lamar fan, on national radio, I don't think there's been anyone that has pounded the drum more saying that Lamar Jackson can win a Super Bowl than me. You know, there's no one that has said that more than me. But the last 2 years, he's been hurt. And we are now several years removed from that unanimous MVP that he did have. So I need to see Lamar stay healthy now for a full season before I put him in the top five. And for Herbert, I love him. But Justin Herbert right now, you can't put him in front of Trevor Lawrence, who just beat Justin Herbert in a playoff game. So my top five quarterbacks in the AFC, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Rodgers, and Lawrence. But getting to Bucky Brooks' point, where he said Rodgers isn't a top five quarterback in the AFC, I think that's a dangerous game to play, to just say after 1 year of not seeing him at his best that he's done, he's shot, and he's basically in his decline. Because you look at Rodgers, you could chalk up last year, and I'm not saying this is fair, because Rodgers got to take some of his bad play and wear it on the chin. But Rodgers had an injury, and he probably didn't need to play and shouldn't have played and kept on playing. So I don't know how much was that him not happy, how much he's in decline, or how much the injury was affecting him. It's going to sound stupid because I'll compare it to Baker Mayfield. Like, Baker Mayfield in 2020 had this great season. And then in 2021, he was dealing with a shoulder injury, and it was, oh, did he decline and did he stink because he's not a good quarterback? Or how much did the shoulder factor in? For Aaron Rodgers this year, we're going to see how great he will be moving forward with a team that is loaded on defense, a team that has more than enough pieces on offense to go contend. Whether you think they're going to win a Super Bowl or not, I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I don't look into the season and say, oh, just because Rodgers is old and just because Rodgers didn't have a great year last year, that now all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers is going to be crap and he's not a top five quarterback in the AFC. Because remember, the last time someone doubted Aaron Rodgers, it was his own front office in Green Bay. And then he pulled off back-to-back MVP type of seasons. Let me ask these few questions here to Marco Belletti. So, Marco, right now, do you view Aaron Rodgers as a top-five quarterback in the AFC?
Yes. Yeah, I still do.
And where do you have him? So, Mahomes 1, Burrow 2. I put Allen 3, and then Rodgers 4, and then I had Trevor Lawrence 5.
I think that's fair. I mean, whether he's 3 or 4, I think Burrow and Mahomes are clearly in front of him for right now. Whether he's 3 or 4 with Allen, you could take your pick. You could flip a coin. But the idea that he's done, to me, is silliness. I need to actually see it. Maybe I'm wrong, and I'll be slow on the curve on this one. I understand his age. I'm aware of all that. If you watch the beginning of his season to when the thumb injury happened to the rest of the season, I mean, it was stark. The comparison between the first couple of games and then all of a sudden it just fell apart. That, to me, is not age falling apart in a two-week span.
Yeah, and when I say what I'm about to say, I'm not putting Rodgers in the same sentence as Tom Brady, but there were many times in Tom Brady's career where he struggled a little bit and people said he was done, and you look at the end of New England. That last year in New England, people said Brady was declining. I said, if you watch those games, that offensive line was horrible. Brady had no time. You know it better than anybody. The only way Tom Brady loses football games is when he's on his back, when he's on his butt.
Yep.
And then he goes to Tampa Bay. The offensive line improves. They didn't even have this great regular season, but you had weapons out the wazoo, and you build chemistry throughout the year, and then you're winning a championship. So not that you could just compare everyone to Brady, but Rodgers has been one of those all-time great quarterbacks. He's a top 10, top 15, whatever, wherever you want to draw the line, quarterback of all time. So I give him the benefit of the doubt where I'm going to have to see him play like crap for two consecutive years. And let's be real, like, even when Aaron Rodgers does fall off a little bit, and he said this before, he's still, like, a bad year for Aaron Rodgers, still better than most of the quarterbacks in the NFL.
No doubt. And again, we're also put into the level of Rodgers and the rest of the great quarterbacks in the AFC. So I get it. To me, there's no way that Rodgers, I don't believe it's gone. I don't believe it just fell off the table and it happened in a, I mean, honestly, it happened in like a 2 year span. Like,
yeah.
I don't
half
buy
a season.
That. I don't buy that. I really don't.
And then earlier we were talking about DK Metcalf, who did go on with Brian McFadden and gave his top five wide receivers of all time. Now remember, DK Metcalf's 24, 25.
Right.
So, you know, I always take a list like this with a grain of salt. That's coming from someone who is not that much older than DK Metcalf. So, you know, it's tough, especially when, because how many times you talk to an athlete and an athlete goes, yeah, I didn't really watch that much football growing up. So
yeah.
I don't know when DK Metcalf started to watch football, but it's tough to think that DK Metcalf.
Or even if he still does, who knows?
You know, he knows some of the all-time great wide receivers, but it's tough to say that he's going to break down guys from like the 70s and the 80s. So his top five, it was Antonio Brown, one, great receiver, but you could roll your eyes, put him at one. Randy Moss, two. Terrell Owens, three. The greatest wide receiver of all time is Jerry Rice. He put him at four, and then he put Julio Jones in at five. So I'm not going to sit here, like I said earlier, and scream about this list, but it did start a conversation, and it was funny because I wasn't expecting to talk a lot of Hall of Fame, but yesterday, all of a sudden, we started talking about quarterbacks and are they Hall of Famers or not.
Right.
Antonio Brown, to me, is a Hall of Famer. Royal pain in the ass, bad dude, we all know that, but this is a guy that's on an all-decade team. This is a guy that has made 7 Pro Bowls, 4 first-team All-Pros. I know if you won a Super Bowl, it's more coach and quarterback, but he has won a Super Bowl. I would vote Antonio Brown in the Hall of Fame. McKeon said he would too, but we both said that we kind of don't think he'll get in because of all the off-the-field stuff and how every situation, it ended really ugly. And you know, if writers waited 3 or 4 years to put T.O. in, Antonio Brown is T.O. on steroids when it comes to actual things that happened off the field.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. How long it'll take him to get in, he'll eventually get in, I would think. I think it would eventually be. But yeah, if you're talking to me, if you're asking me, would he get in on the first ballot? No.
But you know what's
going to
happen?
That would be automatic because it's holier than thou that they would hold it against him. Yeah. That's automatic.
And you know what's going to happen, too. A.B., who I don't think he ever has believed he's done anything wrong. Antonio Brown, when he doesn't get in on the first try, you thought T.O., who had every argument to make forever about how he should have been in on the first try and the writers were taking it to him. I could see Antonio Brown saying a lot of things on social media that's going to push those writers to even say no on Antonio Brown.
No doubt, which is why, again, it'll probably take a long time.
He may talk himself. Well, and there's a lot of reasons, but he may talk himself out of the Hall of Fame.
And it's possible, which is ridiculous in and of itself. But, yeah, when you're talking about human beings having to vote for you and you consistently, berate or belittle them, yeah, there's a good chance that they might hold that against you. And I'm sure they're automatically going to hold something against him just for the attitude and the way he acted and the way his career ended. I mean, let's be fair. The last time we saw him was
running off the field
with no shirt on at MetLife, you know, saying goodbye to everybody. And he's still talking about it as to why he was right to do it.
And also, he has turned on Tom Brady, who no one...
He turned on everybody.
No one ever wanted to bring Antonio Brown back into a football locker room. And Brady said, I could handle him for a half a season. They win a Super Bowl. And this, remember, there was that report that AB was living in Brady's, like a wing of Brady's house. And then he goes, oh, like Tom only used me for football. He wasn't actually looking for the good of me.
And again, I don't know if any of those things are true or not true, but it was just the idea, like, you've alienated everyone.
Yeah.
And then after it was over, you went after two guys that, you know, had almost an impeccable football type of reputation in Brady and even Bruce Arians at the time when he went after him. It is what it is. Let's see if we find it. The chapter with the Antonio Brown saga off the field is not closed, unfortunately.
Oh, that's for sure.
We'll continue to hear more and more. We'll find out.
Well, he doesn't believe in paying people for their services.
Yeah.
Like,
so I feel like
you go to someone.
There's
like,
a lot more that's going to happen here, unfortunately, before the time we get anywhere near when he's eligible for the Hall of Fame.
This is Antonio Brown. Like, this is how I would compare it. I go into a deli, right? You walk into a deli. You go, all right, get me a bacon, egg, and cheese on a bagel. And then someone goes, all right, you have to pay $5 or whatever is a bacon, egg, and cheese. take the bacon, egg, and cheese. I got you, boss. I'm out. Bye. Don't ever pay for it. That's every story you read with Antonio Brown. He pays for a service, and now I'm comparing like it to me going in there for a bacon, egg, and cheese. But whatever his services are, and then he doesn't think he has to pay them just because he's Antonio Brown.
Again, there's a lot of issues there, a lot. And then it doesn't just stem from now paying for service. There's a lot. I feel like we're opening Pandora's box when you get into the personal life of Antonio Brown.
No doubt about that. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get into the latest CBS Sports Radio update with El Capitan, Mark Abelletti.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll have a news brief coming up in about 15 minutes. Keaton Slovis, the BYU quarterback, will join us for a little college football fix in 40 minutes from now. Kenny Clark from the Green Bay Packers at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, and then Eric Eager from Sumer Sports at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, 6:40 p.m. Pacific. McKeon, since it's the last day that I'm going to be working with you for a little bit.
So sad.
Yeah, it's terrible. I'll tell you, like, I yell at you in the open because, you know, you give a mouse a cookie, he wants a glass of milk. That's how I always describe Brian Jack McKeon.
I don't know if that's a phrase, but...
It is. It was a book.
You give a mouse a cookie. Yes. I've never heard of getting mice cookies.
He wants a glass of milk. It was a book. I remember reading it as a kid. It was a little children's book. So you give McKeon a little airtime, and then he thinks it's the Brian Jack McKeon show, and he's been spewing takes for like 4 minutes, and I'm sitting here just saying, all right, maybe I should just get up and leave and walk out and not even do the show.
I gotta give him my chest somehow, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm actually, I don't want to say I'm one of the few people that like you here, but I would say out of everyone everyone here at CBS Sports Radio, would you agree I'm probably the biggest fan of yours? Like, I support you. I'm in your corner saying, go, Brian, go! Go, Brian, go!
Sure, I'd lean on that fence.
That wasn't really convincing, if you ask me. Anyway, since Hickey is back on Monday to take over back his full-time duty here after his bougie vacation that he did go on, I want to just do a little exercise with you. I'm going to give you the division. You tell me who you think wins the division this year in the NFL. Just give me the team, nothing else. AFC East, who are you going with?
Do 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 Dolphins.
Do 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 do. Okay. I can't crush you for that one.
I think they're going to have a big year. I don't want to admit it, but I think they're going to have a big year.
I've been floating that out there. That everyone says Tua's going to be hurt this year. Probably means they'll be healthy and they'll win the division.
They're stacked.
AFC North.
Bengals.
Okay. AFC South. This one's not tough.
It's Jaguars.
Wow, you said that as if you're like, ugh, it's the Jaguars.
It's not a fun division.
AFC West.
The Chiefs.
Okay. Good. McKeon's just not being a troll today. So, you then have three wildcard teams to select in the AFC. Who are your three wildcard teams in the AFC with Brian Jack McKeon saying that the division winners are the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Jaguars, and then the Kansas City? How about those Chiefs?
I don't know if there's a lot of pushback here, but...
Well, wait. This is a controversial one that you think?
No, I think this is very obvious.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't think that many people could have a pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Jets, Bills, Ravens.
Jets, Bills, Ravens.
I guess the Ravens is the most controversial one.
Well, I wouldn't even word it that way, that the Ravens are the most controversial, because you could easily make a case for the Ravens.
I agree. It's just because of the Browns existing. We talked yesterday about their roster being loaded and stuff.
That's not even where I'm going.
The Patriots.
It's not even where I'm going.
Okay,
the Chargers. The Chargers have a lot of talent.
Why do they not fall apart?
I don't trust Kellen Moore. I don't trust Brandon Staley. But they could fall apart in the playoffs. And Austin Eckler, by the way, is going to join us on Monday. So I would say that regardless who is joining us or not. But, you know.
Thankfully, I won't be here.
Chargers should be a playoff team. Yeah, that would be funny. Hey, Austin. Austin is like the most media-friendly person ever. He wrote me a thank you note after coming on the show.
That's
so
very nice.
He's like the nicest guy ever in the world. And understands, like, the athlete-media relationship. I think he would kind of laugh and go, good for him. Good for that guy, if I told him that the guy producing the show didn't think the Chargers were going to make the playoffs.
There's talent in the AFC. The problem is that there's...
AFC's loaded.
There are playoff spots. Like, there is that bottom tier of the playoffs that's loaded, that's available, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're good enough. Like, I think they fall off every single year at some point. I believe in Herbert. Don't get me wrong. They fall off every year at some point.
Here's also the difficult part. You put three AFC East teams in there. Looking at it, totally makes sense. Tough to argue. I feel like every year we always make one division as the greatest division ever. Could get three or four playoff teams in, and then that team either sends only one or two teams.
You're right.
You saw it last year.
You're right, but here's the thing. Are the Dolphins missing the playoffs? Just yes or no, are the Dolphins missing the playoffs?
It's not inconceivable. If Tua gets hurt, you trust in Mike White?
If he gets hurt. But if he doesn't get hurt, I think that they're easily
they're
a playoff.
Loaded.
They're easily a playoff team. Are the Bills making the playoffs?
They yes. should.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other one is the Jets, and I think the Jets are loaded as a roster. And again...
But they are the Jets.
They are the Jets, but here's the problem. If that first half of their schedule is very complicated, they have a very difficult start to their season.
I don't want to hear excuses. You got a roster good enough. Don't tell me excuses.
No. Don't get me wrong. The talent's there. The quarterback's there. And again, this is a team that won seven games last year with no quarterback. So you better get it done. But go on to the NFC because we're not.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I have to. Like you're like an NBA player. I got to give you some load management here. I need you to little less talking right there. NFC East, who's your division winner?
Philadelphia, not close.
NFC North, well, it could be close. Like Dallas is, won 12 games last year, but I don't believe in Dallas to go to a Super Bowl. NFC North.
Minnesota.
Ooh, you like the Vikings, and a lot of people don't like the Vikings. NFC South.
Atlanta.
I like that one. And then NFC West.
I mean, woof. I guess Seattle.
Not the 49ers.
I think Seattle's better than the 49ers.
Wow.
I do.
Now, I am not popular in San Francisco these days.
You think Brock Purdy's going to put this on again?
But here's the thing. It does not matter who the quarterback has been for San Francisco. They find a way bare minimum to get to the NFC title game. I've said for months, best team in the NFC, Eagles. Second best team, NFC, 49ers. And then the third, I do like Seattle. But that's ballsy there, taking them to win the division.
I think Detroit gets in. Don't get me wrong. I think they get in as a wild card.
So you had Eagles, Vikings, Falcons, Seahawks. That's Brian, Jack McKee, and not Zach Gelb. 49ers fans, you already crushed me enough this week, and you're a bunch of losers. I get it. I didn't do anything wrong, but wow. I don't want you to start listening to the show and saying, oh, Zach picked the Seahawks to win the division, because that just wouldn't be true.
My three wild cards are...
You're going 49ers.
Yeah. 49ers, Dallas, Detroit.
Dallas, Detroit. Okay.
I don't think that's crazy.
No.
I think
you have, you could make a case to all seven teams that you made. Eagles will definitely be in. Seahawks will definitely be in. 49ers will definitely be in. Dallas will definitely be in.
I don't see how Minnesota doesn't get in. Because if you want to be down on them, that's fine. Every single year they win 10 games. They find a way to do it every single year.
That's not true. They don't win 10 games every year. But you look at the teams that are in the NFC, it's not. Yeah, that's
I have
not
a
crazy.
Sneaky one that I'd like to get your thought on.
I'm not
on.
Anti-Minnesota. I just don't like the direction they're moving in because I don't know where they're trying to go to.
Sneaky one I'd love to get your thought on that I think can cause problems, though. Washington.
If they figure out their quarterback, the Commanders, and I've said this before, I love the Commanders roster.
Mm-hmm.
Great receivers in Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. I like the running back room that they do have with Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson. Defensively, Chase Young got to start playing to the level that he was drafted at, and they declined his fifth-year option, but they have a good front seven. They haven't found a quarterback yet, and in this league, you either have a quarterback or you don't. I know Sam Howell, before he went back to school, was perceived to be a first-round pick, even at times a number one overall pick, and then that didn't happen. He did go in the fifth round. They're rocking and rolling after going Carson Wentz to Sam Howell, and we'll see if they could find a way to get it right. If Howell's good, then they got a chance to make the playoffs this year, no doubt.